there's always something special about a new year. I was too tired myself on New Year's Eve. My wife and I had just come back from our trip to Lloydminster. So I did not stay up late, but many other people did stay up late on New Year's Eve. In days gone by, we used to have a New Year's Eve get-together here at the church. Many people gathered. They stayed up late. Some people watched fireworks. Who knows what else? New Year's Eve and New Year's is always a special day on people's calendars. But in reality, it's really no different than any other day. It's just a day. And yet, because it's the start of a new year, we're drawn to it. Taking down the old calendar, putting up the new one. I think one of the reasons why we enjoy the new year so much is that it signifies a fresh start, doesn't it? You turn the calendar, or you get a new calendar, you put it up, and it's clean. It's a clean slate. If not literally, at least figuratively in our lives, there's nothing messed up yet. In the old year, well, the old year, you know, when we think back, we had problems. You know, we had illnesses, we had losses, we had pain, we had accidents, we had misfortune, we had our problems. But in the new year, it's a fresh start. And we anticipate that it's going to stay really sweet and fresh. We want to put the old behind us and the problems of the old year behind us. And we anticipate that this year is going to be better. Sometimes we make New Year's resolutions, which, of course, don't last very long, do they? Entering a new year, or making resolutions for that matter, is kind of like driving a new car. You know, you work so hard to make sure it doesn't get scratched or dented, right? I mean, when you get a new car, you are so careful with it. You take good care of it. I mean, if there's a spot on it, you rub it clean. When you're driving down the highway and there's a truck coming towards you, especially if it's a gravel road, you slow down because you don't want a rock to hit your windshield and put a chip in it. I mean, you know, that's horrible. That first chip in a windshield, it's just horrible. And we begin a new year like that. Cautious, determined, careful to do things right. We want to keep it clean, don't we? And yet, sooner or later, and often it's sooner, the inevitable happens, right? And we get those little dings and dents in life, and little bruises, and maybe a scratch here or there, and somehow the luster of the newness fades away. Sometimes we don't even realize when it has happened, and we're just left. We're just left with a bit of a disappointment and maybe the sense that, you know, maybe it's not all that different after all. I just wonder if maybe God felt a little bit like that. After creating this beautiful place called Earth, and even more so creating this new creature called man, I'm not sure if God could be proud or not, but if he could, he would. It was all good. He made everything. It was good. It was shiny. It was new. It was perfect. It didn't have a dent in it, not a flaw in it. It was gorgeous. And when God created man, oh, it was very good. He was pleased with what he made. But it seems that, you know, before God even had a chance to sit down and put his feet up, figuratively speaking, of course, before he got a chance to even call the angels to come and, hey, take a look at this beautiful creation I made over here, and look at that. Isn't that wonderful? The newness, the perfection, the glory of everything he created got messed up. Imagine. We get annoyed if our new car gets a chip in the windshield, right? Or a scratch. Somebody opens their door and dents your car. Oh, that gets me so mad. Okay, fair enough. I get mad too about that. We get annoyed if our new running shoes, you know, the ones that cost $100, they get scuffed, right? Or any other shoes, they get scuffed. Oh, how did that happen? And here's God. Okay, just to put this in perspective, our shoes or our windshield, and here's God, the creator of everything. He's just created all of heaven and earth, the perfect place for man to flourish. No sin, no sadness, no pain, no hunger, no suffering, no death. Man is made in his perfect image. And what happens? It kind of all falls apart, doesn't it? You read the Genesis story and you'll see it there. And the result in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18. These are hard words when you think about what God has created and what he's put into it and what he had anticipated. And this is what we come to. It says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." All that God had created and intended for man, well, that sure didn't last very long. That's not what God had intended. Talk about disappointment. Have you ever considered that, you know, God gets disappointed too? I wonder how he thought, what he thought or how he felt. But disappointment aside, God had another plan, a plan to make all things new again, including the hearts of his people. Because in the end, our brokenness is a heart issue. It's a matter of the heart. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, God says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." The message for us this morning is simply this, that God has a plan for a new you. If you've ever looked in the mirror and you've been disappointed, if you ever looked at your past and were filled with regrets, choices you made that hurt other people or yourself, if you thought that maybe God will never be able to do anything with the mess that you've made, I want to encourage you to pay attention, because this morning we are looking at that fact that God has a plan to make a new you. You might have seen the TV shows. I'm not even sure what it's called, but you know, this guy comes along and he takes an old beat up house And he renovates it. He makes it like something completely different. It's amazing. It's beautiful. I hope they would come to Whitehorse and check out my house. That would be great. But they make it into something amazing. That's kind of what God wants to do in our lives. Except instead of just renovating and covering up, God wants to make something completely new in our lives. Not just a repaired or patched version of the old you, but he wants to make a new you. The scripture verse that stands out in this regard is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You've heard me refer to it a few times over the Advent season, where Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." This verse is nothing less than God's promise that we could become a new person. We have the opportunity here for a new start in life. God is a God of grace. God is a God of second chances. This is nothing short of phenomenal. Many people would love to have a second chance at life. The guy who thought it was cool to get drunk, and he was sure he could drive home safely, but ended up hurting innocent people, radically altering their lives and his own. He would sure wish he could take that back. Or the girl who fell for a guy who promised her love, but instead abandoned her with a child. The man or woman who regrets not talking to a sibling or a parent or a child who has since passed away. Many people would like to get a second chance, but those chances are not always available. In many areas of life, we don't get that second chance, a fresh start. Sometimes the consequences of our actions or the actions of others cannot be erased. In other instances, people might not let us forget the wrong that we've done. We're reminded of our failure at every turn. People write us off. But God doesn't work that way. God's love gives us the opportunity to become a new creation. But there's always a but. We have our part in this too. There is a condition. Paul writes, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, if we put our faith in Christ, this implies some action or some decision or something within ourselves. We have a part in this. In Mark chapter 2, verse 22, Jesus said, "No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." And similarly, we can't live a new life in Christ. We cannot be a new creation if we're hanging on to the old self. In order for the new to come, the old has to be put down. We can't expect a new if we're hanging on to the old. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 22. I love this passage. "You were taught with regard to your former way of life," okay, your history. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We like new, but when it comes to our spiritual standing and place with God, if we want to be a new creation, our part is to put off the old. Don't keep hanging on to it. Don't keep going to that old watering hole. Don't keep going to that place of whatever it is. We've got to put that off if we want to become new. And then when we put our faith in Christ, we become that new creation. A beautiful example of this is the story of a young woman who felt the tug of God at her heart. However, the young woman had a very rough past. It involved alcohol, drugs, even prostitution. But she had committed her life to God, and the change in her was very clear. As time went on, she became a member of a church, a faithful member of the church. She eventually became involved in ministry, teaching young children. And it was not very long after this that the young woman had caught the eye and heart of a young man. The relationship grew, and they began making wedding plans. This is when the problems began. About one half of the church didn't think that a woman with such a past as hers was suitable for the young man. The church began to argue and fight about the matter. And believe it or not, they decided to have a meeting. As the people made their arguments and tensions increased, the meeting was completely out of hand. The young woman was very upset at all the things that were being brought up about her past. And as she began to cry, the young man couldn't bear the pain it was causing his wife to be anymore, so he stood up to speak. And this is what he said. He said, "My fiance's past is not what is on trial here. What you are questioning is the ability of the blood of Jesus to wash away sin. Today, you have put the blood of Jesus on trial. Does it or does it not wash away sin?" Well, yeah, it does. It indeed does. The blood of Jesus washes us clean, makes us a new creation. It's not because God decided one day that he's going to erase everybody's slate and give everybody a fresh start. It's not because God decided, "Oh, I'll just forget it, let everybody off the hook." That's not justice. But justice did allow for someone else to take our guilt, our sin, and ultimately our suffering. And you know him, and I know him. His name is Jesus. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 said, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Similarly, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." The reality is that the fact that we can become a new person is not because of our determination and our ability and our keeping our nose clean and our ritual participation and our faithfulness in tithes and offerings and all those other good things. Our standing in Christ, our hope, is in nothing else but the blood of Jesus. That if we are in Christ, if we have given our heart, our life to him, if we have put our faith in him, we become a new creation. The bottom line is this: God has a plan for a new you, a beautiful new you. No marks, no sin, and most importantly, no condemnation. But it isn't going to happen until you put your faith in Christ Jesus. So the question for us this morning is simply this. Would you like that? Would you like to be a new creation? If so, would you put your faith in Christ? He wants to make you a new creation. He will put his Spirit within you, but you need to make that request. And maybe for all of us, we might need to think, is there some area in my life, something in my life that is old, the old is trying to get back in. We put off the old, praise God, but quite often it wants to come back and say, hey, Norm, do you remember this? You want to try that again or do this or whatever? And so we need to be on our guard. God's desire for us is to become a new creation. And God is faithful. He will do it. But we need to do our part. We need to put off the old and receive the new in faith. And when we do, we become children of God. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day, we will experience the new heaven and the new earth that God is preparing for us, where there will be no more sorrow or pain or tears or death or mourning. All of those things will be past, and we will be new creations in a new heaven that God is preparing for us. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, our Lord, our God, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, we recognize how easy it is to be broken, how easy it is for sin to infiltrate our lives, how easy it is for us to hang on to the old. But Lord God, you are calling us to be a new creation. It is a work that you want to do within us. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who is desiring to come to that place of newness in you, that they would put their faith in you, that they would receive you, and Lord, that you would do a work in their lives. And Father, for all of us, help us, Lord, to continue to walk in you, to allow your Spirit to do a new work in us, that you would take us to a new place this year, Lord God, a higher place perhaps than where we were. Lord, as we draw closer to you and walk with you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.